Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime. They would dress their horses up in trousers.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to talk to Anus Pinkerton about that one.
I'll be you, One-Eyed Wilkins.
Because I've got two eyes.
No.
It's ironic.
I don't like violence, but that did turn me on.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Joining us today, comedian, lover, great time gal, is Lou Sanders.
Yay!
Thank you. I told her to say those things about me. My two favourite things are drunk women and solving crime.
Well, this is...
Wow, that is a lucky coincidence.
Yeah, lucky, yeah.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Of course I have. A young lady of my stature. Where she is, with a few diamond rings. So the first idea I had of crime, the first time I was like, oh, people steal things, wow. It was when I was about 7 and I was at Pontins holiday camp.
Very nice.
I went to Pontins. You know I dominated Pontins. And my older brother got his Bermuda shorts. It was a different time. And he got them nicked from the washing line. Because you know, if you got your chalet...
Oh, you were like self-catering in Pontins.
Yeah,
we keeping it real, the Sanders. Yeah, damn right.
Yeah, we had a chalet. He had his Bermuda shorts, wow. Like I say, on the washing line, you know. And I remember thinking, wow, so people were just... That's really tragic that they would steal secondhand Bermuda shorts off the line, and I felt really sad for a few different reasons.
Oh, you felt sad for humanity.
Yeah, like why they're secondhand? Why do they need to nick them? And two, you know, I mean, they're in a holiday camp. How hard up can they be? And then I felt really bad for my brother because his dad had bought him Bermuda shorts, you know.
Oh.
So a real sad tale there, guys.
Yeah.
To open the show with.
Your spirit got crushed age 7.
But I got over it pretty quickly with a bit of candy floss, I mean. The other crime that springs to mind was, well, the guy didn't have Bermuda shorts on, but he did have a very jazzy Hawaiian shirt on. So it could be him in a few, like, because I was older by this point.
Oh.
And the guy, so a guy pinched my bum, and normally I'd just be like, fuck, you know.
What age were you when he pinched your bum?
Oh, I was a grown woman, like 20? late 20s, maybe early 30s.
Okay.
Just a hop and a skip ago. a man, like, pinched my bum, and
Wait, where were you?
In Islington.
But, like, in a pub, on the street?
On the street, outside, what's that shop that does a lot of, outside Monsoon, actually.
Okay, yeah. Okay, broad daylight.
Yeah, about 7, 8 a.m. in the summer. Pinched my bottom. It's a lovely bottom, you know.
Hey, got it. Damn right.
I mean, you know. It's not his fault entirely. Raiding around with my own bottom. I reacted quite strongly. I think I was drinking at the time. I don't drink now, so this podcast can go down the toilet. But I like seeing other people drunk. I like seeing other people ruin their lives. Okay. Makes me feel a bit smug. All right, yeah, you carry on drinking. Everything right at home, guys, yeah?
No, actually. No.
She's on her fifth white wine. Come on, open up, Anna. Not all crimes are physical. No, but yeah, he pitched my bum. I slapped him. He punched me in the eye.
Oh, my God. Oh, outrageous.
Yeah, he was drunk and an idiot, but it really hurt. And then he panicked and said, "Oh, do you want a?" No, his friend panicked and said, "Oh God, do you want a cigarette?" And I said, "Yes,"
because that undoes that.
Yeah, and then it was quite a strong reaction from me, and also he didn't go easy on him. He really thumped me in the eye, and it sort of ballooned up immediately.
Jesus.
But then these two little lovely geeks they saw it, and because he was in such a loud Hawaiian shirt, they clocked him and they followed him incognito.
Wow.
Under the disguise of being geeks. God bless them. I love geeks. What can I say?
Yeah.
And they called the police and said this guy, and then I don't know how it happened because I can't really remember, but anyway, I did go down the station and make a statement.
Wow.
And then it gets even weirder because the policeman who... So one guy was taking the statement and then this other guy like took over, and I think he really liked, he was sort of putting words into my mouth, and I thought I'm in the right here because he did twat me in the eye.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't, this is quite leading, like he's really leading the statement. Anyway, and then the guy, the policeman, like I didn't think was taking the case, then started taking the case and kept like texting me. And he texted me.
Oh my God.
I'm in the bath. Once he texted me, he was in the bath and something or other.
In the bath?
Yeah. And he would just, because I think some police, not all of them, like a very small minority of them, like, because I think he was turned on that I was vulnerable and crying because I didn't look my best. I was crying. I cried all my makeup off and I had a black eye.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I do think
he's a predator.
Because there's another one in Broadstairs once where I had, he kept pulling me over in my car, and then the only time he let me out, I was never doing anything wrong, but he'd like test my handbrake loads of times and stuff.
Oh my God.
He'd give me a producer every time he saw me as a power play. And then the only time that I started crying because I had done something wrong, I turned right when there's no right turn. And I said, I didn't realise it was right by my house. I was like, I didn't realise. And I said, my Auntie Sue isn't very well. My brother's off school. And I like started crying. And then he let me off. And I think he loved seeing So this other one was
dirty
weird.
Control freaks.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
And my boyfriend at the time was like, why is this prick keeps texting you? And I was like, I don't know, but I don't want to cause a fuss because he's in a position of authority. And also because it wasn't really that much of a... Like, I could handle myself. It was like, oh, what an idiot. Like, I wasn't threatened or anything, but he wasn't hanging around my house. It was just like a bit like, I know your game and I see you and I'm not going to play it. That was all it was.
Wow. God. So what we often ask people on this podcast is if you could see that person now, if you could see him now, what would you say to him?
Go and see a shrink.
Oh, yeah, so go to therapy.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Thank you very much to Beer 52 for all the beer. So much beer. And we're going to make our way through it over the next few podcasts.
We're going to do you proud, Beer 52.
Yeah.
Diving in.
Okay, so this week, we're not talking about one crime. We're talking about the life and crimes of Frederica Mandelbaum.
Ooh.
Best known in the criminal world as Mother or Mom.
Ooh.
Mammy.
It's already creepy as fuck.
Hey, mums can be criminals too, you know.
Exactly.
I like it. See, I immediately went like, oh, she was a nurturing criminal. Yeah.
This woman isn't hugely nurturing, but I do like her. She was one of the most well-known, one of the most well-connected criminal figures of her day, buying stolen goods and reselling them, financing criminal endeavours, and even creating a school for young criminals.
But it's nice to put, you know, an importance on education.
Exactly.
And development.
Which is what she did. And over the course of her career, she...
Wow, this is like The Wire.
Yeah.
Precursor.
Yeah. She handled an estimated $5 to $10 million in stolen property.
Oh my god, what year was this?
Well, that's coming up. So just before we go into what year this was happening, I just want to paint a picture of this woman. So she was 6 foot tall, wow, had, and I quote, the eyes of a sparrow, the neck of a bear.
Did my daughter draw her?
And fat, florid cheeks.
I mean, so this was not self-described, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like somebody else. My next kind of,
I'd say swan-like. It's a bear.
Like
it's
your
a bear.
Your dating profile.
Come get some bear neck.
She had tightly rolled black hair, which was topped off by a feathered fascinator. She spoke only when she had to, and apparently her favourite saying was, "It takes brains to be a real lady."
Oh,
I love her.
I think I might have just fallen in love with her too.
I like criminals when they don't steal from people personally, like burglars, like, and stuff a bit low.
Robin Hood. Oh no, because he just stole from people personally too.
Oh, did he? I like the ones that steal from banks, etc. You know,
like Ocean's 11 and that.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Because it's all made up anyway, isn't it?
It's
money
all
and numbers.
Faceless,
and...
victimless crime.
Well, I'm not going to lie, Mom did a little bit of everything. So she's not completely. Yeah. But my first question is, when do you think this was all happening?
Well, a fascinator, 1940s.
Oh, straight in.
I know this woman's name.
Okay.
But I don't know a ton about her, but she's a New Yorker, yes?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Sorry, did I just give a spoiler?
No, it's fine. This happened in New York.
She's a New Yorker.
Is her name Molly?
No,
that's a more recent one. Molly's Game, that woman.
Oh. I think it's before. I think she was... I think she was like late 1800s.
It was... Do you want to guess?
No.
Yeah, I want to guess.
She's saying that it takes brains to be a lady. She's allowed books. I'm going to go 1910.
It was 1862 to 1884 was when she was at her height, which was 6 foot. So Frederica Mandelbaum, as you correctly said, this all happened in New York, but she emigrated from Prussia. For a bonus point, where was Prussia?
Yeah, right, because it sounds like Russia, doesn't it? Yeah, right.
And they like crime.
So the Prussian Empire was it part of Germany?
Hungary,
Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah, she's the other one. Yugoslavia.
It was indeed Germany. It was a big part of Germany.
She's got a German name, yeah.
Yeah, Mandelbaum is quite German.
Are you sure it wasn't Yugoslavia?
we can double check that if anyone would like to fact check who's listening.
They definitely had that accent.
So not much is known of her early life other than that her family was Jewish. And she and her husband, Wolf, emigrated in 1850.
Sorry, what was their name?
Wolf, like wolf.
Nice.
Yeah, he had the neck of a wolf, apparently.
But the dick of a sparrow.
They immigrated in 1850, likely because of limited economic opportunity for Jewish people in Prussia. So I was just about to ask whereabouts you thought this was happening, but it was in New York, and they settled in a place in the city known as Little Germany, which was in the Lower East Side. Where they lived, 15 people would be squeezed into apartments measuring just 325 square feet.
Oh, dear.
It's not big. And if you want to know, like, I Googled how big that was because I wasn't really sure.
Oh, I don't like space.
And then it just brings up loads of YouTube videos of people being like, oh, we've got such a small apartment, but we've done so well with the space. Which is fine if it's two people, but this is 15 people.
Yeah.
And apparently the breathing air was not even sufficient for one person.
Oh, no.
Yes. So for several years, Mom and Wolf made a shitty living as peddlers, which is basically selling stolen goods. Everything from rags to broken watches to scraps of silk.
Wow.
They'd carry their wares on their back and setting up each morning on the street. Apparently, vendors at this time would use all sorts of tricks to attract attention. So they'd blow bugles, they'd sing songs, and this is my favourite, this is apparently a fact, they would dress their horses up in trousers.
Oh, I'd stop. I'd buy a watch.
Lead with that.
Yeah, lead with that.
Lead with the... Yeah. Forget scraps of silk if you've got a horse and you've got some pants.
Also, like, what? Which bit do you do the trousers? Is it
which
like,
is funnier?
I don't know. Is it
I kind of think
legs?
The front legs are funnier. Like, picture a pair of jeans on a giant horse. Mm.
Yes. Yeah, very true.
Sorry, this is going to take me a while.
So do you think they made much money doing that?
Well, they got a horse. Yeah, they could afford their own horse.
And the trousers.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny, though, that, like, these days, if you have a horse, that means that you're quite rich. But yeah. In, like, the olden timey days.
Well, it's like owning a Clio.
They still had to feed it, though.
Yeah, they had a horse.
I don't think they were doing
probably,
too well. Peddling scraps of things.
Broken wristwatches. It doesn't sound very glamorous, does it, Wolf?
So they spent 14-hour work days and would only earn up to $6 per week. Not a lot, is it?
No, I would go to a life of crime. Why not?
And by this point, Mom and Wolf had 4 children to feed. So 2 sons and 2 daughters. Yeah, so they needed to...
And they're all still living in this tiny place with other people.
Yeah, and they had to clothe a horse as well. So there's a lot going on. But Mom's luck really began to change after the Panic of 1857. Does anyone know what that was?
Oh, she thought she's pregnant again.
It's got to be something medical, like, can't be some kind of plague thing, but maybe...
Yeah, rats and that.
Like...
Was it?
It wasn't. It was like a credit crunch. So, yeah, it was a whole financial thing where hundreds of businesses failed, banks closed, and tens of thousands of people lost
their
jobs.
In 1857.
Okay. Yeah. And Mom discovered there was a fortune to be made by befriending the countless pickpockets in the city and buying their stolen wares cheap and sending them on for much more. So she used her motherly charms to recruit these little baby criminals as her own private army.
See? Like I said, nurturer.
Yeah. What do we... So some as young as 6. Yeah, I know.
Well, but it was already like a disenfranchised 6-year-old. She didn't like...
Probably an orphan, actually. So.
Right.
She's giving them something. They're all getting something out of it. They sneak in, you know. Yeah, I think they're all getting something out of it.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's what...
She didn't make the mess. She's just trying to survive.
Exactly. And before long, she needed a front for all the money that she was turning over. So she and her husband leased a store. So it was like a storefront. And what do you think they sold in the store? And a little hint, it's really not very interesting.
Hoses.
Horse trousers.
I know, I was thinking horse pants. Get your horse pants here.
So we've got horse pants, and
you
hoses.
You said it was not very interesting, though, and horse pants, there's nothing more interesting than horse pants.
And hoses can be great.
So. Yeah, hoses.
I should just tell you. It was a dry goods store. So she ran her operations from there, which extended to financing bank robberies. She dealt in stolen goods of all kinds, silk, lace, diamonds, horses, carriages, silverware, gold and silver, and eventually she rented 2 large warehouses to keep it all in.
Wow.
Do you think the little kids got a wage increase?
At what point?
I hope so. When she started to do well, I hope she, you know, sorted them out. And
yeah, she salaried some of them.
Did she?
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah.
I love that.
Wow.
Paychecks.
Giving something back to the community.
I mean, she's not Mother Teresa.
No, she's not. But then she opens a school in the back of her dry goods store to teach children, particularly orphans, how to commit crimes. Mm. So this school wasn't far from the police headquarters.
So she's like the Artful Dodger.
Which she was essentially bringing up lots of little Artful Dodgers. So what do you think they learn at this school? What do you think the lessons
are? I don't
know,
but there's a musical in this and it's great.
It's Oliver, right? Isn't it? Like, that's the thing.
It is a shame they had to, when she was doing well, she didn't think, oh, I'd, you know, open a monkey sanctuary or do something better with it. But we all make different choices.
Wait, what was the question?
What do you
all
think?
Those monkeys in New York back then, too.
Yeah.
Just,
what a waste.
Lower East Side was rife.
Or educating them in a nice way. But anyway, she didn't. So that's where we're at.
Yeah.
I think she taught
them. It's a little bit Montessori.
Yeah.
You gotta distract and grab. You gotta distract and grab.
Is that what she taught them? Show tunes.
Coming to you. Yeah.
She taught them show tunes and to learn to pickpocket in the first instance.
Yeah.
Then you'd get your advanced students who would take courses in burglary and safe blowing.
Wow.
And then if you're really good, you'd be offered training courses in confidence schemes and blackmail.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh my God. This is even better than Oliver.
But it like, is a shame about the blackmail and stuff, actually. I think karmically she was asking for trouble.
Oh, you've fallen out.
I think, you know, it's
if it helps, she is dead now.
When did she go too far for you, Lou?
Well, because I think if you're in a situation of poverty, you know, I get you have to do different things and I will forgive that. But then once you're up and running to a certain you know, it's like then don't try and disadvantage, don't make a massive scheme out of it of like fucking people's lives over. I've taken it very seriously. it's really actually got to me now.
She got too corporate for you, didn't she?
She got too corporate. Thank you. I like it when she's little, you know, right. Oily
you
rags
like,
on
you
the
like
street.
The underdogs.
Yeah.
When little dry goods shop was like the independent store and now she's Walmart.
She could have done anything with that money. She could have like made apologies, turned her life around. That would have been a nice end to the film.
Yeah,
she learned a few morals. You know, she said sorry.
I like that you can graduate in this school, though. I like that there's different levels.
There's progression.
Like, next year, I hope my mother's so proud. I might get into blackmail. I have a master's degree.
For a lot of these people, though, and particularly a lot of these kids, like, you know, because of the what do you call it, the credit crunch kind of thing that was happening, this was kind of the only thing that was open to a lot of them. So I know what you mean. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to sort of quantify the morals of this story.
Yeah.
Because...
Not to mention that there's a pitiful welfare state at this time. Yeah. There is a great place that you have to go to called the Tenement Museum in New York. So I have seen one of these places because they have a very, very well preserved, because it was boarded up and just kept as it was from this era, which is why I think I know about this woman, because I think that was part of the tour, because she was a bit of a ledge in the neighborhood. And it's unbelievable. Like, it's just mind-blowing. So it is easy to understand, like, if you have a knack for it.
Yeah.
And she did have a knack for it. I mean, she's a good businesswoman, so she's basically just running a business, albeit a very corporate one, Lou.
On other people's misfortune.
She's sold out.
She is the Pepsi of mafia leaders.
Well, you're not going to like this, because Mom was apparently credited with being one of the first feminists. Now, why do you think that was?
Because she employed and paid women the same as men. And by women, I mean little girls, same as little boys.
Well, it was her willingness to train and employ women and girls in her crime ring that created opportunities that were simply not available elsewhere for women at that time. Yeah.
Okay, I'm back on.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So presumably,
as long as they had bare necks,
that meant that girls didn't have to do so much whoring because they could do
Katie.
Stealing instead.
Thank you. This is really
yep.
Because my
Lou's
first
back.
Thought, well, when you said they had no money and 4 kids and stuff, and my first thought was, oh, I suppose what will she do, whore herself? You know, like, that's the first thought that you're taught to think. Use your body.
Yeah.
Know?
And she was able to get women jobs in which they made more money and were able to use their skills in better ways than they did, for example, working in factories, which is something they could do. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, she's exploiting the system. Is the factory boss and capitalism exploiting the system? Yes. Yeah. Under the very eyes of the law.
Exactly. And they'd only steal from rich people, I guess, because you'd want the good stuff.
Yeah.
She once proudly said she was saving the women from wasting their lives being housekeepers. That's what she said.
She's like a feminist Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of is. Steal from the men and give to the women. Yeah. But yeah, she had this affinity for female crooks and encouraged the ambitions of many noted pickpockets and blackmailers, including, and these are real names of people from the time, Big Mary.
Nice.
Black Lena Kleinschmidt.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Queen Liz. She's not actually black, though. I did look her up just in case I was like, should I not say that?
It was a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time. Queen Liz.
Queen Liz?
Little Annie. Old Mother Hubbard. I could imagine that.
They had weird gang names in the olden days.
I know.
But it's good because you wouldn't suspect Little Mother Hubbard of stealing anything, would you?
Yeah, that's what they're all kind of adorable.
They should call them Lovely Anne.
What came first, the nursery rhyme or that criminal?
I looked it up and it was a nursery rhyme. She was named after the nursery rhyme. Because probably her cupboards were bare, which is really sad.
Yeah. I like to think that they were all ironic, though, that actually, like, Little Mary was huge, and the first one that was big was tiny. Like, everything was the reverse, so, like, her cupboards were full.
Yeah, if the black one wasn't black, I think we
actually, that checks out. She's fine. My favourite was Kid Glove Rose. That was another one at the end there. Kid Glove Rose. What would your criminal underworld name be?
Oh, my gosh. I wish... I had more time to think of
Lulipops. No one's going to suspect Lulipops, are they? Oh, did Lulipops cause a crime? No, she's just going around cuddling everyone. If that's a crime, I don't want to be right. Also, it probably is a crime now, actually, if you don't get consent.
That's very true. Lulipops.
Looks like I'm in trouble.
Can I be reflux because I suffer from it?
Oh, yeah.
And I just think it sounds kind of sinister and I get really like... irritating people to be like, oh, the acid's rising. It could be a whole thing.
Reflux gland.
I like reflux gland.
Like an X-Men thing. Yeah. I'll be you, one-eyed Wilkins. Because I've got two eyes. It's so ironic.
Very nice. See?
Wow, what a gang. What a gang.
That's actually really offensive to people with one eye, Katie.
Well, to be fair, with my squint, if I lived in those days, by now I'd be blind in one eye.
That's true.
If that's any consolation to all the people that were offended by that.
just you. So Mom's business acumen and dedication to nurturing young talent, she soon had enough resources to buy the most important thing for a criminal, which is friends in high places. So as her empire grew, she hired a network of associates. So what kind of people do you think you'd need if you're running
policeman,
the biggest criminal racket?
Policeman, the mayor.
Yep.
An accountant.
Yeah.
A lawyer.
Yep.
Someone to do your caricature.
Ooh, the press.
You gotta have some downtime.
The newspapers.
Oh, yeah, it didn't say anything about newspapers. But yeah, all of everything you've just mentioned. And she'd employ engravers to doctor jewellery. So if it, you know...
Wow. She was thorough.
Very thorough.
She's so busy.
She thinks of everything.
She's a mum as well. How do you fit it all in?
Can you imagine if she had to do an interview, that's what they'd say. How do you fit in all your crime and still have such good skin?
She sounds like a real attachment parent. Like she had babies in slings this whole time. All of them.
She'd have cab drivers for quick getaways.
Good.
And she paid a firm of defence attorneys a £5,000 retainer.
Wow, in that day is a lot of money, actually.
Yeah. Is she like the richest woman in New York at this point?
Well,
this from somebody making $6 a week.
Yeah. Well, she used to be.
Years before.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Yes.
And she's a real J.K. Rowling. Yeah. I take that back, J.K. Rowling. I love you.
Yeah, please come on the podcast.
Also, many politicians recognised Mom's growing influence. And do you think they tried to stop her, or what do you think they did?
Yeah.
Encouraged her. People love
they're
power.
They're gonna want to take her out if she's hiring women. That's a threat.
Well, no. They would stop by her store to say hello.
They curry favour.
Yeah, reasoning that she could help them rally the Jewish vote, even if, as a woman,
She's rubbish.
Not. Lesson.
Love that you went there. She's not able to vote. But when you went in straight in.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So she couldn't vote herself.
Where's my head at?
Police Chief George Washington Walling called her a thorough businesswoman.
Yeah. This
is how corrupt things were back then.
Yeah.
But all good things come to an end, and after 22 years, or bad things, depending where Lynn's at, right? and after 22 years in the criminal underworld, Mom gets caught.
Oh.
How do you think that happens?
I don't know.
Someone has to turn on her because she's got it all locked down.
Katie, she's so good at stories, this one. Isn't she so good at plot?
Somebody flipped. Somebody lower down the chain got busted and didn't want to do time.
Not her husband, was it?
No, he's dead by now. But he actually just wasn't that interesting. I like that. I just cut him out like a new person. Yeah, he was a... Well, actually the...
A wolf neck can never compete with a bear neck.
Yeah.
Wow, she must have wronged somebody along the way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
ooh, a rival.
Someone wanted to...
Oh, a rival.
Mm.
The sheriff.
Well, what happened is that the New York District Attorney, Peter Olson, hired a private detective agency because the police would not do anything.
Is it the Pinkerton agency?
It was the Pinkerton agency.
Oh. Love it.
Do you recognise that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know as well, but what is it?
It's just one of the oldest detective agencies.
Oh, okay.
Around. That's my fun fact that may or may not be true. It's
why are you excited? What's fun about it?
I get excited when I know something. Oh, Katie.
Okay.
I don't have an anus library like you do. So.
You do, and the Pinkerton's in it.
Oh, no. She's got anus Pinkerton. I can't be good.
Wait, new underworld name.
Yes.
So,
I'm sorry, you're going to have to talk to anus Pinkerton about that one.
No!
Detective,
is it true where she keeps her gun? See, I can keep going. Keep going for days.
So from the Pinkerton Detective Agency, Detective Gustav Frank, using the alias Stein, gained Mom's trust and sold her some stolen silk. And when the police raided
a fellow German.
Well, it was...
I mean, that's a real kick in the face.
And this is entrapment.
Well, yes, that's what they did.
I love how we're totally standing up for this career criminal. Like, this is wrong, what they're doing using the law.
But the police raided her various warehouses and they discovered the silk. And there was enough loot in her warehouses to put her away for life.
Wow.
There were enough clothes to supply an army. There were trunks filled with precious gems and silverware. And antique furniture was stacked high up against the walls.
So she's kind of a hoarder.
Yeah.
And she went away for life. How old was she?
Do you think Mom admitted, once she'd been caught, do you think she admitted that this was her?
No.
Why do you just think she wouldn't?
She blamed it on a little boy called Reuben.
Unlucky Reuben.
Well, lucky Reuben. It was ironic.
Maybe she said it was a setup and got her lawyers to fight back.
Yeah, she could lawyer up pretty slick, actually.
She didn't.
She doesn't have to take this shit.
And she didn't, yeah. So she and her son were arrested and she issued a rare statement because, like I said at the beginning, she doesn't really
talk
unless... She's sort of like has to.
No, she's like my dad.
So she said, there's so many correlations between your dad and this.
Yeah. Mum's.
Don't get me started on his neck. So she said, I keep a dry goods store and I have for 20 years past. I buy and sell dry goods as other dry goods people do. I've never knowingly bought stolen goods.
That's how my dad talks.
I've never stolen anything in my life. And that part might be true because she never did the bidding. She never did it. I feel that these charges are brought against me for spite. Ooh. I never bribed the police, nor had their protection. I never needed their protection. I and my son are innocent of these charges, so help me God.
Ooh, she went drama.
Didn't she?
And then what?
And then, so at trial, do you think she was found guilty?
Well, I don't know. She owns the jury, probably.
And you're asking the question, so I think maybe not.
Ooh, Detective Sanders.
I'm thinking she would have had the power to get the jury. A little corrupt jury action.
Yeah, well, it never got to trial because she skipped bail.
She does a runner.
That's a runner, mate.
Where's she go?
Well, what do you think? What, she ran to a different country. Where do you think she
Hawaii.
Fled?
Russia.
Prussia, Hawaii.
She flees to a different country. Well, she's not going to go back.
Yugoslavia.
Canada?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Just because it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there.
Anywhere else.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that's on as well.
Sorry, that was me slapping myself just in case anybody wondered whether I just slapped Taylor for getting the right answer. Canada. Sorry.
And that's on as well.
No, it was just her.
And what about her other three children?
Well, this is the thing. She just left, I believe, and she took on an assumed identity. And I heard that she... I heard from Google. I heard from an article I read.
And without her husband?
Oh, her husband was dead.
Already.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I am great at this.
Apparently at one point she may have come back to New York because her daughter died, so she went and she watched the funeral from afar.
Oh, wow.
Why did her daughter die?
I don't know, but it was the
1860s. That's an amazing scene in the film, though, right? When she's just watching.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's
giving herself a little skinny neck and that. So she can't be
hiding it with a big scarf hood thing.
Big eyes.
There are probably contouring videos on YouTube for bare necks.
So she fled to Hamilton, Ontario, where she changed her name and set herself up as a law-abiding citizen who donated to charities. It's what Lou wanted.
Aww.
And she worked long hours in a hat shop.
Oh, lovely.
She just really got into hats for a while. Until her supposed death in 1894. Well, rumour had it that her coffin, transported back to New York, was filled with stones and that she had, in truth, returned in the flesh under the name Madame... Well, this word is F-U-C-H-S. Madame Fucks? I mean... Was that how you pronounce it?
So that's when she did turn to prostitution when she was 18.
Yeah, yeah, what age is she?
I would say Fuke.
Fuke?
Fuke.
Yeah. Fucks, this is funnier, isn't it?
It is. let's stick with
that. I wonder if her children saw her and, knew... I don't know. It's a very interesting story.
It is.
I guess that's why you picked it.
What, They didn't ever try and extradite her from Canada?
No, she just... I mean, I guess in the 1860s, or, well, the 1870s by this point, or
80s. It wasn't worth it.
Kind of, yeah, it wasn't worth it. But you would have thought, like, literally this 6 foot, 300-pound woman with sparrow's eyes and a bare neck.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you've never been to Canada.
Yeah.
Full of them.
And also it's weird that she got bail, because you'd think they'd just send her down, like, with all the... stuff, and she's so sneaky, think.
I know. I love that trust.
And what happened to her crime syndicate in her absence?
It just all fell apart, I think, after that. But I guess people just got on, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think that's what became 7-Eleven, Katie. Later became a convenience store chain in the US.
I imagine.
So just to round this off, something very apt apparently happened to the mourners at her funeral. And what do you think that was? They realised after they got home.
They all had their wallets.
They'd been pickpocketed.
Stolen.
They had been pickpocketed.
No! All the mourners!
Yes.
At her own funeral. That's amazing.
Funeral wish.
Isn't that awesome?
That is.
Whoa.
Someone's brilliant prank, thinking, no one will come and find me because they'll all assume this was.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. What a story.
I know, it's great, isn't it? But yes, that is the end of Madame Fox.
I love it.
Really puts the Bermuda shorts into perspective.
Drunk women solving crime.
Just to round off the podcast, we are taking a listener crime. So we got this crime from at some grey bloke on Twitter. Now we're really going to try and help here. So he says, "Dear drunk women, several years ago I was in France. A man asked me if I wanted some hash. I said I did. He said, 'Give me 100 francs and I'll meet you here in half an hour.'"
Oh, dear.
Please facepalm.
Oh, so gullible.
Yeah. I gave him the money and an hour later he hadn't come back.
Weird.
I hope you can solve this mystery best at some grey bloke.
Whoa, how long ago were they on that currency?
100 francs, I guess 2001.
That's a lot of money. Okay, well, he doesn't need the hash because it's only going to rot his brain. And might I just say that his brain is already a little rotten. Because that was a... No, God bless him. But really, like, I think Hash is going to make you a bit more sort of ditzy, and it seems to me that he should be investing his money more in B vitamins to sharpen up the mind. So that guy did him a favour in a way.
There you are, some grown bloke.
That might be the best advice we've ever given anyone.
But and it's good to learn your lesson, you know, early on. It's a shame, and it is a loss of money, but you've got to let it go, wish him all the best, send him light, the thief, and think, I didn't need that hash actually. Thank you for saving me from myself.
Yeah,
there you go. That's you did your favour. Well,
and it's like your story, it's like that introduction to, like, it's the first time you go, oh, this is how things work.
Yeah.
He was a lot older than you.
Yeah. I'm assuming. He wasn't seven.
That's a long time ago. And he's on Twitter, so he's young enough to be on Twitter. But old enough that, so I reckon he was very young.
Yeah. It's almost like he should have been hurt more in his life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
do you think he's...
Well, that was the first and hopefully the last time anyone... What's his name?
Some Grey Bloke, at Some Grey Bloke.
No one will mess with that Some Grey Bloke again. Now he knows. Keep your money in your pocket and your drugs to yourself.
He's street smart and savvy now.
Yeah.
I want to give the advice of have some more B vitamins to everyone else. Like, even the people that we can't help. Well, there's always B vitamins.
We can always offer B vitamins.
Yeah.
If you can afford them. Some of them are expensive.
You know? That's good advice. It's good advice. Taylor, did you...
I don't have... I mean, it's not one to solve because it's advice. I'm sure he's learned
that,
so
that bow has tied itself.
That bow has tied itself. But it does remind me of... a friend I have in Chicago, a similar kind of story where you just go like, I can't believe you let that happen. But when it's you, you're just sort of like, this guy is the last person I would ever mess with. Like, he's like 6'7", like, just, do you know what I mean? He's a bare-necked gentleman. And he thought he was buying a VCR on the street, so he knew it was like a dodgy deal. He was like, this is the best deal I've ever gotten, and he paid like $10 for it. And he opened up the button, the guy literally just ran away. But he still didn't think, like, oh, this is weird. He's like, I guess he had to be somewhere. And he opened up the box and there was just a brick in it.
Yeah, my friends
are so sad.
But they get you with the psychology of it, because they're like, because we all panic in a rush and they're like, quit the police, you know, and like, sort of social pressure intervenes, and you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, have the tenner or whatever it is. Yeah. My friend did that with the TV. He bought a brick in a box. They said it was TV. Oh, I mean, my friend is dumb, you know, that's the other thing. It's the other thing.
Wow. Do you think that somewhere there's someone that wanted to buy a brick?
It's a brick in a box.
I think the fact that he's not still there in France in 2001 waiting for the hash is progression.
And also, I bet the guy who nicked his money is got a less of a life than old Some Grey Bloke.
Yeah.
You know.
He's not got advice about B vitamins right now in his
life. Thank you. He's not listening to Drunk Women Solving Crime, is he?
Exactly.
The old hash pants.
So monsieur, how do you say eat B vitamins in French?
Oh, monsieur, please mange tout le vitamin B.
Vitamin B. There we go.
Now we've saved him too.
Yeah, no, I know. Piscine?
Piscine.
That's a swimming pool.
And what? Yeah, so why not have a swim as well? And you've had your B vitamins.
Yeah, B vitamins.
If we're going to speak French, there's one sentence I can say really fast.
Go on.
Do it. Okay. C'est un homme dès que les troupes américaines embarquent en juin 1944.
Ooh,
that just... is have some B vitamins and feed them to your cat.
No, it was in Normandy that the American troops invaded in June of 1944.
Oh, really weird, because I don't like violence, but that did turn me on.
Well, I think on that note, it's time to
see you in 5 minutes.
To wrap this up, Lou, have you got anything coming up or anything that you want to sort of promote?
No, I do a podcast myself. Hello. All do podcasts. Called it's a terrible title, great podcast. Why's Your Bottom So Dirty?
It's a brilliant title.
That's a really good title.
And then I'm doing Soho Theatre again in February, so my show's coming back.
Shame Pig.
Oh my gosh, Shame Pig, good. See her show. It is so good.
It's genuinely, genuinely.
It is so good.
Can you do the TED Talk? No, you can't do
that.
I just love it.
And also, Why Is My Bottom So Dirty is so funny. I've been listening to it and
Oh, you'll love to
think I'm on it.
Oh, mate. I mean, I've always wanted to know why my bottom is so dirty. I just scrub and scrub. But I've got Anus Pinkerton. And, wow. Okay. So podcast, Why Is My Bottom So Dirty? And in February, Shane Pig, Soho Theatre. It's brilliant. Go to it. Wonderful.
Instagram, Twitter, all the usual.
Thank you, Luzana. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.